What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike, Living Biblically by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A Voice for Lutheran Women, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
She said, those of us that are pro-life need to have our religious beliefs changed. I don't know about you, but my religious beliefs are not between me and Hillary Clinton.
I've seen G.I. Jane, and that's how I know that we're not the weaker vessel, because that lady was really tough. That is not the standard or the norm for any of us.
Because of the cross, there is intimacy between the believer and Christ, as rich as the intimacy between God the Father and God the Son.
He has not gone away. He is present for us in his body and blood, in holy baptism, in holy absolution, in the Bible, in the preaching of the church.
Chaplains deployed to Washington, D.C. absolutely love Issues Etc.
Well, if you knew that you were going to eventually get where you were going, if you knew it, you wouldn't worry as much about the journey along the way, would you? You wouldn't worry about the detours. If you knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that you would eventually get where you're going, you really wouldn't worry about the in-between stuff, no matter how bad it got. Paul's kind of in that position in Acts chapter 27. He knows that he's not only on his way to Rome, he is going as a prisoner, by the way. He's going under in Roman custody. He is going, hopefully, he thinks, to appeal to Caesar, his case, the case that has been made against him in Jerusalem and elsewhere. But he knows he's going to get to Rome. How does he know that? And how does that shape the course of the events that follow as he makes his long, circuitous way to, well, further imprisonment in Rome? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, May the 18th. Thanks for tuning us in. This is our time that we spend with Pastor Tom Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson, Paul sailing to Rome. There's some sailing, then there's some shipwrecking, and there's all sorts of other things that happen before he actually makes it to Rome in Acts chapter 27. A little bit later in this hour, Raymond Ibrahim will join us, author of the book Crucified Again, Islam's New War on Christians. We're going to talk about several facets of the Islamic State story. You might have heard over the weekend that the Islamic State is claiming full control of Iraq's Ramadi. It's the capital of a region there in Iraq. And if you will remember, it was, well, some decades ago that we spent some American blood taking that very territory. Now it belongs, at least ISIS says it belongs to them. We'll also talk about ISIS leaders reportedly killed in a U.S. raid with Raymond Ibrahim a little bit later on Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. Today it's Paul sailing for Rome in Acts chapter 27. Tom is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
This is hardly a Mediterranean cruise. This is not a pleasure cruise. He goes as a prisoner, and he perceives from the very beginning, we'll find out here in a few minutes, that there's going to be loss of cargo, perhaps even life, and certainly the ship. He knows it in advance, but he also knows, Tom, that he is eventually going to make it somehow to Rome. How does he know it?
Well, we actually need to look at two verses in Acts 27. The first one is verse 10, when they are ready to make the voyage, but it is during a dangerous time of the season. And Paul says, "Sirs, I perceive that the voyage will be with injury and much loss, not only of the cargo and of the ship and also of our lives." But then in verse 21, after the sun becomes darkened and there's no small tempest laid upon them, here's what Paul says, "Men, you should have listened to me and have not set sail from Crete and incurred this injury and loss. Yet now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night," and here it comes, "there stood before me an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I worship, and he said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar, and behold, God has granted you all those who sail with you, which is just another way of saying that none of them will lose their life. So while Paul was properly concerned at the beginning of the voyage, he then had an angel of the Lord come to him and give him a different message.
So how has Paul come to this state of being, it's kind of a good news, bad news situation. He is traveling to Rome as a prisoner of the Roman state, but he's traveling in order to appeal his case before the, at least he hopes at some point, before the highest Roman authority, that would be the emperor. How has he come to this state?
He was arrested in Jerusalem on trumped-up charges. That's Acts 21. And he was actually jailed for 2 years in Caesarea. That's Acts 24, verse 27. But what happened is that they didn't realize he was a Roman citizen and beat him, and therefore he was able to say, I can go to Caesar and have a trial there, which they allowed to happen because he was a Roman citizen. And so it is on his trip, we believe his last missionary journey, as he sets sail for Rome, and it's just wonderful how God prepares the situation for many people to hear about the true God, and even how a dear friend, a Roman centurion, ends up probably saving Paul.
And this is pretty amazing here, that the detail that Luke includes here. He not only has the name of this the centurion who is watching over him, Augustus' cohort named Julius.
Yes.
They are on a ship of, I can't even pronounce the name of this town. They know what port. It's I almost get the impression that Luke is traveling along. He's got very detailed itinerary for Paul's journey here.
Well, verse 5 says, and when we had sailed across the open sea, and that is a first person plural. And so one would assume that Acts, having been written by Luke, would mean that Luke was with him.
So they sail off in this treacherous time of the year. Paul gives them the warning, and then exactly as he predicts, the ship comes into some danger. Tell us the story, Tom.
Well, this particular time of the year was September the 15th through November the 11th. Was very risky, and November 12th to March 9 was actually dangerous, with disasters very common. When Paul mentions the fast in Acts 27:9, he is referring to Yom Kippur, which is on the Day of Atonement, and this occurs in September and October, and so that's how we figured out that Paul recognizes that this is a dangerous time to go on this journey. One of the programs I enjoy watching are truckers up in Alaska as they go through icy roads, and I tell you, precipices they could fall off of, and mountain trails. It's just, you have to have a lot of courage to drive a truck during that time. And so it's a lot better at other seasons of the year in Alaska than during the really icy season. And this is the kind of thing that we have here. So it appears that of Paul's own wisdom, he encouraged them not to set sail, but then God stepped in through the angel, gave him this vision, and indicated that no people would perish. And by the way, there were 276 people on the boat, but no people would perish, but the ship would be destroyed.
The picture here is of the situation for this ship and its crew and its passengers, the prisoners here, getting worse and worse and worse. They're throwing over the cargo. Then they're throwing over the stuff they really need, like the tackle for the ship itself. They are bracing the ship. The water beneath them is getting shallower and shallower, which is not a good thing when you're trying to sail safely from one place to another.
Yes.
Is God sending this storm upon them? It kind of reminds us of Jonah, but Jonah, we know God sent the storm. Is God sending this storm?
There's nothing that happens that God does not permit or actively do. Where I'm talking about the difference, he never does sin, but he permits it occasionally. But in this particular situation, God sees the big picture, and what an opportunity. You almost have Paul as pastor with a congregation stuck on a big ship. But he also has an assistant to Paul, and you already mentioned him, the centurion, whose name was Julius, and he really liked Paul. They had become good friends. And so we had this opportunity where when it looked like they were going to be destroyed, some of the Roman soldiers wanted to kill the prisoners because, as we learned, the Philippian jailer, he would have been put to death had any of the people in jail escaped. Well, in this case, they were going to kill the prisoners, but instead the centurion protected Paul when he said that nobody would lose their life and not even a hair on their head would be lost, which is really quite amazing. So it was obvious that God was very much involved in this, as he is involved with every event in the life of the Sunday school children, and that's what we really need to draw closely, these 2 points.
So with about a minute before we take a break here, Tom, this is probably getting difficult for everyone to believe, even perhaps even Paul, that he's going to survive as things get worse and worse. The ship eventually gets stuck on a reef. The surf is breaking it into pieces. As you said, their swords pulled to kill the prisoners. This is certainly got to be a test of Paul's faith in that promise that he had heard from the angel.
Yes. In fact, in verse 31, he says to the centurion and the soldiers, "Unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved." So what do they do? The soldiers cut away the ropes of the ship's boat and let it go. You know, the Word of God has power. Can you imagine being on the Titanic and somebody says, "Oh no, unless you stay on the Titanic, you won't be saved," and people cut the ropes of the lifeboats? I mean, it just never would have happened. And these people don't know the true God, but when the Word of God is stated, as Paul said, the Holy Spirit can create faith to trust that Word of God, and people end up doing things that are really ridiculous, like cutting off the ropes for the lifeboats, or we Christians taking a child to have water placed on its head in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or going forward and receiving a morsel of bread and a sip of wine and thinking that's the body and blood of Christ? No. Once faith is given through the preaching of the Word, things can change in a person's heart.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with him. Paul sails for Rome in Acts chapter 27. He is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you can find out more about Law and Gospel at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand.
Who was it, everybody?
It was Jesus.
It was Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The Substitute Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Vision casting leaders in the church, differences between men and women, naturalism, biblical archaeology. You can meet and hear Issues Etc. regular guests discussing these topics at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois. Find out more at issuesetc.org. Registration is $100 per person. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 19th and 20th in Collinsville, Illinois.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Common and experienced firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to, you know, help them to get a sense of, A, you know, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest for the next few minutes of the program, teaching a Sunday school lesson from Acts chapter 27. Paul sails for Rome. By the end of this 27th chapter, he's still not in Rome, but he will make it there. He's heard the promise. I wanted to come back to that, Tom, if we could. This idea that, and this is really a picture of the entire Christian life in a lot of ways, that, and you often say it, that it is faith in the promises of God. The promise has been made, a simple promise made to Abraham. He would have a son, and that from that son would come a great nation. A simple promise made to David that one of his sons would sit on the throne. Simple promises made to many others there. And then here's a simple promise made to Paul. You are going to go and stand before Caesar. And so Paul has this confidence in that promise. Talk about that as kind of the shape of the whole Christian life.
Yes. First of all, I want to commend again the Growing in Christ series, which says about this Bible study, Christ was with Paul and his companions in a perilous sea voyage, so he is with us, holding us up, keeping us with him in the ship of the church and casting all our sins into the depths of the sea. And the second point I want to bring up is how you began this Sunday school lesson, Todd. He said, you know, we really don't need to worry about the in-between things on our journey if we have a promise that we're going to get there. Well, guess what? This is a kind of a microcosm of the journey that every one of the Sunday school children are going on, as well as the Sunday school teachers. Their journey to heaven. But there will be times when they're going to be going through storms of life. And what needs to be done there is to keep oneself immersed in word and sacrament. Yesterday, when I was preaching in Carrollton, Illinois, I came across a concept that I really developed in the sermon, that from a long gospel point of view, every text tells us your problem, and every text is different. For example, here's a problem where we're going through a terrible storm of life and we don't have any way that we know we're going to get through it. The gospel is how God solves the problem. So even though Paul is going to be going to Rome and he's going to be having the opportunity to share the message of Jesus Christ many a time, he will end up dying in Rome. But he will then be in heaven. So it doesn't really matter what things we go through. Psalm 46, which, by the way, is the basis of a mighty fortress, where Martin Luther says, you know, take there our wife, our child, let these all be gone, they yet have nothing won. Here's how Psalm 46 begins and how close it is to Acts 27. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling. Now, those are promises that are given to us, that God will never leave us nor forsake us. He'll never give us more temptation than we're able to endure. And it is those promises that we cling to and not our experience. It's the difference between the theologian of self-glory who looks to his experience to see how God is treating him, and the theologian of the cross who looks to the Word of God. And here's what Paul did. He heard the Word of God, and it even had an impact on unbelievers. And so this is another lesson we want to get across to the children. It really doesn't matter who your friends are, because God may be giving you an opportunity to share with them who the true God is, simply by going through a terrible time in your life, and they may ask you, how did you get through that? And you have the opportunity then, as Paul did, to share that message. And in fact, that's the goal of the Sunday school teachers, to share that with the children during this lesson.
How would you're talking about a theologian of the cross versus a theologian of glory. How would a theologian of glory have interpreted the events that Paul was passing through on his way to Rome there?
If you want to know how a theologian of glory interprets it, all you have to do is take a look at how the unbelievers respond. And of course, the soldiers, had they not been stopped by the centurion who really liked Paul, they were ready to kill all the prisoners because they did not want to, you know, be put to death, even though they probably knew Paul, even though Paul had even given them food during this terrible time. The theologian of self-glory, his motivation is always self-interest. Had Jesus had that motivation, then Philippians 2 would never have occurred, where he humbled himself for me, for you. And God highly exalted him. So the theologian of glory has as its very foundation self-interest. What's in it for me? The theologian of the cross has it, what's Jesus doing in my life? How are his promises true? And so we do not look at our experience to figure out if God likes us or doesn't like us. We look to the Word of God, where he loves even unbelievers, and the many promises he gives us through the gospel message of the Holy Bible.
Paul actually, not this particular event, maybe, but he does mention being shipwrecked several times. He actually lists these things among his qualifications to be regarded as a genuine apostle. Not just that he preaches the gospel, that is the primary qualification, that he says, this ought to recommend to you that I'm a true apostle as opposed to a false apostle, but his suffering, his weakness, all of these things that he says at one point, even boasts in these things. Talk about that if you would, Tom.
Philippians 4, 11 and following. Paul, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low. I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Now, we're not getting into it right now, but when the shipwreck occurs and Paul is gathering a bundle of sticks, a serpent, a viper, comes out, fastens on his hand, and bites him. Now, when the people see it, they're theologians of self-glory. Here's their conclusion. No doubt this man is a murderer. Though he has escaped from the sea, justice has not allowed him to live. But the theologian of glory that Paul is, he simply shakes the creature off into the fire, and he suffers no harm. And even though it appears that people are suffering harm, as Paul did, he was whipped many times, and look at the Christians today overseas being killed by ISIS, etc. Yes, they're suffering harm, but that harm will still end them up in heaven. As you said at the beginning, it really doesn't matter what is happening on your journey if you have the promise from God that you're going to reach the heavenly home.
So finally, Tom, wrap it up for us in a paragraph or so. What is the basic message from this chapter on a situation for Paul that starts out bad and gets worse and worse and worse and eventually ends up in a shipwreck all the time he clings fast to this promise? What's the basic message for the Sunday school children?
Paul's plan was to go to Rome, and that's why he was concerned when they were traveling at a time when he might not make it. He wasn't sure so much. But then he got the word of God given to him, as we have. And even though the circumstances surrounding our lives appear that God is not keeping his promises, he always is. In fact, I've learned, and this is my spiritual life, not in my natural life, but in my spiritual life, that anytime something happens I wasn't expecting, I kind of sit back and see what the surprise is that God has for me. And the surprise that he had for Paul is 276 people came to understand the God that Paul had. And Jesus' purpose in bringing Paul as an apostle to the Gentiles was fulfilled in what at first appeared to be something that God was not in control of, but he was in total control. As we learn from the ascension, Jesus is our ascended prophet, priest, and king, and as king, he holds the whole world in his hands.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Tom will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on John's vision of heaven in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
You heard Tom mention this great Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House called Growing in Christ. I recommend it as well. You can find out more about this Christ-centered, cross-focused Sunday school curriculum for all ages from Concordia Publishing House at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand, or you can actually get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House. Just give them a call, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. And they will send you a free sample of Growing in Christ. When we come back, we are going to do a little bit of the Issues Etc. comment line, respond to as much as we can, and then we'll round off today's program talking with Raymond Ibrahim about some developing news regarding the Islamic State. Do you have a hard time finding Christian greeting cards and gifts that aren't either sappy or theologically suspect? Ad Crucem offers the perfect combination of art and the truth of the scriptures with beautiful and reverent greeting cards and gifts. Deliver the true comfort of the gospel, Christ crucified for sinners, to family and friends with Ad Crucem. ADCRUCEM.com. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Faith Lutheran Church and School in Plano, Texas preaches Christ crucified. Join us each Lord's Day to hear law and gospel preaching and to receive the Lord's Supper. Our classical preschool through grade 12 Lutheran school is second to none. The school serves home educators too with online classes in the high school. We are located at 1701 East Park Boulevard in Plano, Texas. Reach us by phone at 972-423-7448 or on the web at www.flsplano.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We Lutherans were never aided by following along with some other tradition's theological priorities and catchphrases.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Pastor Heath Curtis, coordinator for stewardship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod on a Lutheran approach to stewardship.
Other folks are not approaching it from our good, solid Lutheran understanding of law and gospel and vocation. There's a place to talk about this in Christianity, and we have a way of talking about stewardship as Lutherans without ever using the word stewardship, if you like. I'm going to talk to you today about your vocation in your home, in your church, in your society, and how each one of these makes a claim on you, on your presence, on your support, on your prayers. That's how we should talk about this as Lutherans.
You'll find several stewardship resources at lcms.org/stewardship, lcms.org/stewardship.